We have heard some brilliant things from you already this morning, and I'm not going to be up here to speak to you for very, very long, but what I've got to say to you comes from God's Word, the Bible, so I think it's one of the most important things that you're going to hear today and even this week. Let me start with a little game, and we're going to let the adults in with this one. It's a little game of Who Am I? You're going to see that little slide just up on the screen. A little game of Who Am I? Because I want to first of all talk to you, before I open God's Word, about someone who is quite famous. Now, I don't remember all of this happening, but I've even heard of him. I'm going to start with a few clues, boys and girls. I'm going to give you five clues. If you're not sure who I'm talking about, we'll see if we can hand it over to the older people. Would that do? Okay, here's the very first clue in my Who Am I game, okay? First clue is this. I was born on the 5th of December, 1963. Anyone got it? No. All that that tells us is that this person is very, very old, okay? That's the first thing. Clue number two. I am a British Olympian and record holder, okay? Clue number three, I represented Great Britain at the 1988 Winter Olympics in Calgary, Canada. So we're getting a little bit more information about this person. Nod your head if there's anyone in the church who's got an idea who I'm talking about. Okay, a few. Two more clues. Boys and girls, clue number four, my name is Michael Edwards. But that doesn't give it all away just yet. And clue number five, I am a ski jumper. Any of the boys and girls got an idea of who this person is? No idea. Do you know what? I'm not surprised, okay? But you probably will have heard of him. Anyone from the rest of the congregation want to shout out a name of who they think this person is? Come on. Eddie the Eagle. Let's see. There we are, Eddie the Eagle. Boys and girls, has anyone ever heard of Eddie the Eagle? Great, so you have heard a little bit about him. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Eddie the Eagle. Eddie the Eagle was a ski jumper. If you've never seen ski jumping, it's this crazy sport where they get on two skis and they ski down a really, really big hill, and then at the end of the big hill, there's like a ramp, and they take off into the sky. And they fly through the sky. They're trying to fly and jump as far as they can. And the person that jumps the furthest is going to be the winner. Now, this was Eddie the Eagle. Eddie the Eagle was a ski jumper in the 1980s. And I'll let you in a little secret, boys and girls. He wasn't very good at it. Okay? He was rubbish at ski jumping. But in the 1988 Winter Olympics in Canada, this guy, Eddie the Eagle, was the star of the show. It wasn't for his ski jumping. We're going to find out a little bit more about him. You see, there hadn't been a British ski jumper since 1929, and Eddie the Eagle saw his chance. But he had to overcome lots of obstacles. There were things in Eddie's way that really shouldn't have allowed him to be a ski jumper. Let me tell you about a few of the things. First thing was this. Eddie the Eagle was far-sighted, and he had to wear glasses. As you can see in the picture, he had to wear glasses underneath his ski goggles. Now, the thing is, to be a ski jumper and to be skiing in any way, you have to go up into the mountains, don't you, where the good snow is. So when he was up that high in that altitude, what happened was his glasses all misted over inside his goggles. So he couldn't see anything, and probably that's a good idea if you're going to jump off a cliff or like he was doing, but that was his first problem. He had really poor eyesight, and he couldn't see when his glasses and goggles missed it over. The other thing about Eddie was this. He was heavier than everybody else. He wasn't really built to be a ski jumper. Now, if you want to fly through the air, it's probably not a good idea to be 9 kilograms heavier than all the other competitors. But that's what he was. He was heavier than everybody else, so he's more likely to hit the ground first, isn't he? So that was another obstacle he had to overcome. And a final one, and there's more as well, but a final one is that he didn't have any money from the Olympic Association. The British Olympic Association thought this guy was mad. He kind of was, but they thought he was crazy, and they weren't going to help him out to be a ski jumper. They thought he was a bit of an embarrassment. And because he had no money, he had to borrow some of his equipment. He had to borrow his ski boots, and they were far too big. So in order to fit into his ski boots, he had to wear 6 pairs of socks. So as you can see, Eddie the Eagle had to overcome lots and lots of obstacles in order to compete at the Olympics. But compete he did. And I've already said to you, he was the star of the show. It wasn't because he was any good at ski jumping. He came last. But it's the way that he did it. You can see it in the picture there. Eddie the Eagle had a smile on his face. When he competed, he didn't mind if he came in last place. He was going to give it his all. He was going to give it his very best shot. And you know, when people around the world watched this on television, they realized that that was what made Eddie the Eagle special. There's a little quote that is on the screen just now that I found about Eddie the Eagle. I'll read it out to you. It says, "Admirers praised him as representing the true Olympic spirit as an amateur athlete." And listen to this. "Who wanted to compete at the best of his ability, regardless of his chances of winning." He didn't mind if he came in last place. He was just going to give it his very, very best shot. He was determined. He was passionate. And he had a little bit of ability, and he used it to the very best that he could. Do you know what, boys and girls, and mums and dads, and all the adults in the room, that's all anyone can really ask of us. We don't need to achieve great things. We just need to do the best with what we've been given, to work hard in everything that we do. And actually, that attitude is biblical. It's found in the Bible. It's found in one of the stories that Jesus told. And I'm going to read it for you just now. I'm going to read to you a story that's known as the Parable of the Talents. It can be found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. And it can also be found in the book of Luke. I'm going to read it here from my children's Bible, the Parable of the Talents. So all I need you to do right now is just sit back, relax, and listen to this story, a parable that Jesus told. Jesus said to his listeners, "It's like a man going on a journey. He calls his servants to him. To one he gave 5 talents. To another he gave 2 talents. And to another he gave 1 talent, each according to his own ability." Now, a talent was a very large amount of money. Then the man went on a journey. The man who'd been given 5 talents put them to work right away and soon earned 5 more. In the same way, the man that was given 2 talents earned 2 more. But the man who'd been given 1 talent, he went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master returned and asked what had happened to his money. The man who had been given 5 talents said, "Master, you gave me 5. Look, I've earned 5 more. "Well done, good and faithful servant," said his master. "You were faithful over a few things, so I will put you in charge of many. Share your master's joy." Then the man with 2 talents also came to him, and he said, "Master, you give me 2 talents, and look, I've earned 2 more. "Well done, good and faithful servant," said his master. "You were faithful over a few things, so I will put you in charge of many. Share your master's joy." Then the man who had received 1 talent came and said, "Master, I know you're a hard man. You harvest what you didn't sow, and you gather what you didn't plant, so I was afraid. I hid your talent in the ground. Look, you have back what is yours." But his master said, "You evil, lazy servant, if you knew that I harvest where I haven't sown and gather what I haven't planted, then you should have placed my money with the bankers. Then at least I would have my money back with interest. Take this talent from the man and give it to the one who has 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now throw this good-for-nothing servant into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Boys and girls, that's a story, a parable that Jesus told. And let's very briefly recap on what happened there. There was one of the master's servants who was given 5 talents, 5 large sums of money. Who can tell me what he did with them? Go for it. He went out, he worked hard, he did his best, and he gathered in 5 more. The same happened with the guy that was given 2 talents, isn't that right? He was given 2, he went and he worked hard to the best of his ability, and he gathered in 2 more for his master. And this is what it said in verse 22 of Matthew. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Or in the version I read from the story Bible there, share your master's joy. The master was so very happy that they had done a good work. They had done their best for him, and they would celebrate with them. He was going to put them in charge of much, much more because of what they'd done. But the other guy that was given 1 talent, he did nothing. He hid it in the ground. He didn't work in the way that his master wanted him to. He didn't pay him any respect at all, and he had nothing more to give him. And this is what the Bible goes on to say in verse 29. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. That means so much, loads of stuff. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. And as you heard from the story, that servant was punished harshly by the master for failing to work hard for him. So what does this story, the parable that Jesus told, the parable of the talents, what does it teach us here today? Well, let me tell you this, whether you're 5 or whether you're 55, no matter what age we are in here today, God has given each one of us a unique set of talents and abilities that nobody else has. Everything has been given to us by God. Skills, abilities, talents, connections, positions, even our experiences, whether they be good or bad, we are unique, and God has given us amazing talents and abilities that nobody else has. Maybe you're thinking today, I don't know what I'm good at. I don't know what my skills are, what my abilities are. Well, I'll tell you in a little while how you can look out for those. But you know something? I said earlier on, you don't need to change the world. All that God asks from us in a parable like this one is that we work hard with what we've been given. Whatever we're good at, whatever abilities and talents that God has given us, we need to work hard and do our very best. You see, here's another verse from the Bible. It's found in Colossians chapter 3. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. See, the Bible's telling us here not to work hard so that we get rewarded or that other people will see and think that we're great, but to work hard for God, to do our best for Him. Now, I've heard already today here that the boys and girls have been learning about God having a plan and a purpose for you in Sunday school this year. That's exactly right. God knows exactly where you're going. He knows what He wants for you to do. He has a plan for you. But let me tell you this as well. It doesn't matter whether you become an astronaut or whether you have a job that many other people maybe don't think is that important. It doesn't matter what you are or who you become. The Bible tells us that if we do that job to the best of our abilities, as if we're working for God, then that is all that He asks for us. And He will give us more. He will give us an abundance. That's what the Bible has told us. So for the boys and girls here, that means very simply doing what your parents ask you to do. Tidying your room and when you don't even feel like it. Listening to your teacher. Setting an example to the rest of the boys and girls in your class by doing what the teacher says, even if it doesn't sound like something that's going to be fun. For us adults, it means doing what our boss says. I'm my own boss, so that doesn't really work out for me, but it means doing things that we don't particularly want to, because we're doing them for God. We're doing them so that other people may see what we're doing, and it will point them to Jesus. You see, boys and girls, Jesus did something for us that He really didn't want to have to do, but He did it. He had a choice to go to the cross or not. And He chose you and me. And you know something? That's the one thing that we can't work for. We can't work our way into heaven. No matter how hard we try, no matter what we do, we will never get into heaven unless we give our lives to Jesus. You see, Jesus died on the cross to take away my sin, to take away your sin. He rose from the dead 3 days later. He defeated sin and he defeated death for us. There's no other way to get into heaven but by believing in what Jesus has done, putting our trust in him, asking him to forgive us of our sin, and he will. And he will promise us a place one day to live with him forever in heaven. I trust and pray that you have done that, that you've realized that Jesus is your Savior. There is only one way to get to heaven. We can't work at that. But if you are a Christian boy or girl, man or woman here today, then the parable that Jesus told teaches us a lot. That we are to work hard, we are to do everything that we do to the best of our ability because we are working for God. Our job is to point other people to him, that they might see that we're different. It's not because of anything special in us, it's because of everything that Jesus has done for us. Now, boys and girls, just listen for just a moment more, because I said earlier on that maybe you don't realize what you're good at. Maybe you think, I'm rubbish at everything. What can I do for God? Well, you've heard already this year, he has a plan for you. Listen out to when people pay you compliments and say, you did really well there. Maybe it's your singing that you've been doing up here this morning, because some of you were singing fantastically. It could be anything. Listen out for adults paying you compliments and saying that you did things well. And you know, something small that you're good at the minute, God could use for great things. Let me tell you about what I thought about whenever I was your age. I wanted to be good at football. You see, my brother is. My younger brother's a brilliant footballer. But I'm not. I'm pretty rubbish. And all I wanted to do was to be a great footballer. You know what, God, I could be a professional footballer and I could tell loads of people all about you. I thought that would be great. When I found out I wasn't very good at football, I thought, what about rugby? Nah, it wasn't rugby either. Look at the size of me. But you know what, when I was younger, my mum and my dad and my aunts and my uncles, they said something to me that I didn't think was much good at the time. They said, do you know what, Aaron, you're really good with looking after your little cousins. Because I was the oldest cousin, I was a teenager, and they were only little, and I enjoyed playing with them. That's probably because I was still at the same mental age as they were, just as I am today. But they said, you're really good at looking after children. You're really good with them and playing with them and understanding them. I thought, I'd rather be good at football. But you know something, God's plan for me was that I became a teacher. I became a primary school teacher. And I did that for a number of years before I left that job to go around schools right across the whole island of Ireland with the amazing journey that I am so thankful you've been learning about. And I'm so thankful you've been raising money for. Do you know what you're raising money for, boys and girls? You're raising money for big new picture boards that can travel around with me in my van so that I can teach other boys and girls all about Jesus and what he has done for them. So thank you for all your hard work on that this year. But listen out for when people tell you you're good at things. And that gives us adults a responsibility too, doesn't it? How often do the things that we say to our children or grandchildren, how often is it something negative? Telling them something they shouldn't be doing or they're not doing well? The onus is on us to point them to their abilities and their talents and how they can use them for God. Tell them today as you go home in the car what it is you're good at and how you've used that for him. Boys and girls, you are unique. You are special. You've been given a set of abilities and skills and talents that maybe you don't even realize yet, and you can use them for God. Remember Eddie the Eagle? He wasn't much good at ski jumping. But people know about him. People remember the 1988 Winter Olympics and the things that Eddie the Eagle did. It was nothing to do with his skills at ski jumping. It was everything to do with his attitude and the way that he did it. I hope that can be the same for us as Christians, that we can stand out in our schools, in our workplaces for Jesus and point other people to him. And then one day, boys and girls, men and women, that we might hear those words from our God, well done, good and faithful servant. You've listened brilliantly here at the front, and I hope that's been beneficial to everyone here today. Thank you for having me along. Let me just pray so that we can commit this all to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for a wonderful lesson from your word, the Bible. This parable that Jesus told 2,000 years ago that's still relevant today. Most of all, we thank you for sending him so that he could die for us but rise again so that we can be forgiven. Help us to do that, Father. That's the only thing that we can't work at, our way into heaven, only you and what you've done. Help us to put our trust in you and then to point other people to you, to use this parable and many others to work hard, to do things to the best of our ability, to do things as if we're working for you and not for people. Whether that be at the front or whether that be behind the scenes, Father, would you will help us. Thank you for all the boys and girls here, all the families represented. We thank you for what they've heard today, but what they've learned all through the year as well. Help them to realize that they're not just a part of the future of this church. They're very much a part of the present, and we thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen.